says number 5 on there. This is the 5th talk that's been recorded. And I wanted to assure you and anyone who listens to these recordings that your job is to test whatever is said and that you take in against your own experience and your own feelings. I say it over and over, but I want to say it again. It's unnerving to have talks, what comes out of my mouth, put on a tape or a CD. I try very hard to stay true to what I've studied and what I've felt, but I'm fallible, and I want to be sure that everyone understands that it's up to each one of you to test what you hear, question it, doubt it if you must, and find out for yourself what the truth is. And match your understanding with others' understandings. The Dharma is vast. Shakyamuni Buddha said, I gave you a handful of leaves. He said, there's a whole forest full of leaves, and I only gave you a few. It's a beautiful metaphor for how huge and vast the truth of things is. And if you question, I'm open to combat. I learned so much from how I'm met by you. So I welcome it. We're all learning together. So it's full moon night, or close enough. In our tradition, starting at the very, very beginning with Shakyamuni Buddha, there was a ceremony, not only with the full moon, but almost every time the moon was showing, new moon, the quarter moons, the full moon. And I think any time there was a hint of trouble, they would all get together and recite the precepts. And as each precept was recited, the monk or nun would step forward who had broken that precept and say so, and then apologize. I took Joe's razor. Joe, I'm really sorry. And I'll get you a new one. Something like that. Very intimate, very homey, very simple. And so we've inherited that tradition. There are many, many different versions of it. Korean Zen people sit up all night on a full moon. Sometimes they chant all night, or they do prostrations all night. Korean Zen is very, very vigorous. They're tough, those guys. I don't know how they do it. In Zen, in Japanese Zen, the tradition is to have a very long ceremony, a very long, elaborate ceremony that takes lots of rehearsal. The Doan has an especially busy part, and it includes, I think, 9 prostrations for every one of the precepts, so that by the time you've finished, you've had a tremendous aerobic exercise. I have wobbly knees. It's an amazing experience. I've only done it once at Green Gulch. And since I'd already done it a number of times with Koban, I was kind of horrified because it was so different and so formal, so exceedingly formal. It seemed to have nothing to do with what I thought the precepts were about. But all the folks I know who practice at Zen Center and any extension of it think that ceremony is the last thing in wonderful. So please don't take my word for it, especially around this. But I have never learned it. I've never had occasion to learn it. And what we did with Koban was so kind of outrageously simple. When we were, I guess before Jikoji times even, there were 3 American Indians who became friends with Koban and with us. And John Little Turtle, White Wolf, and Jerry Roybal. 3 very nice men, and very independent, strong, interesting men who were interested in what we were doing. We were having our sesshins at Hidden Villa then, at the ranch, which had once been the Ohlone Indians had once lived there along the creek, and so they felt a kind of connection with it and a connection with Koban and with what we were doing. Jerry Roybal came in once when we were having lunch in the Zendo, and we had we were offering the water, that's what it was, and chanting the water chant, the water with which I wash these bowls tastes like ambrosia. And afterwards I said to Jerry, does that sound strange to you? I said, we put it outside and it's for all the beings. And he said, oh no, we do that too. We do that, of course. So there was a real affinity with them. And there were several times when some of us met with them at the ranch and smoked the pipe with them. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. It was wonderful. It's a real pipe with feathers on it and beads and old, very old. And it was a kind of a family feeling that we were creating by doing this.
What do you smoke?
Tobacco.
Tobacco.
They smoke everything with tobacco or sage. I get letters from an Indian who was in prison, and he scatters tobacco from cigarettes, I think, in the letters. So when you open it up, you get this little bits and pieces of it all over. It's been blessed. And he sends the blessing along with it. So several times with the pipe, we had something to discuss. We were trying to figure out where to go to find a place to settle, which turned out to be Jikoji eventually. And those men wanted to help us with it, not only with the actual doing of it, but with the blessing of it. And so we would sit in a circle and pass the pipe. And when you received the pipe, then you took some and then you spoke. So when it was time for Kobun to do the full moon ceremony with us, he took us out to the same place. And we all sat in a circle, about just about this many people. And he had his teaching stick, and so we used that as a talking stick. And as the moon came up, we passed the stick. You didn't have to say anything. You could sit in silence if you wanted to. Or you could say something. Joe, I took your razor, I'm sorry, I'll get you another one. Or something like that. Or gratitude. There were many expressions of gratitude and appreciation. It's funny, when we work and practice together, sometimes we fail to express the whole of what we feel. And it's an opportunity to do that. But we also recited the precepts from the beginning all the way down. So we started with all my ancient wrong actions, and went through the refuges and the three pure precepts and then the 10 prohibitory precepts, so-called. 16 precepts and a coda at the beginning, something like that. The precepts, as they developed in Buddha's time, became very complicated. The Vinaya is a book that monks and nuns have to follow completely. Some of them are extremely esoteric. Some of them are extremely weird. They developed because the way they lived together, if something happened that seemed untoward to the monks or the nuns, they would go to Buddha and say, so-and-so was, I can't think of a proper thing to say, I can think of some of the really awful things, that so-and-so was doing something he shouldn't have been doing. He was pouring water into the milk. And so then Buddha would consider, and he would say, well, let's make a rule about that. Let's say that we're not ever going to put water in the milk. And then they would all agree. And so these accumulated over the years until it was this great big hunkin' bunch of rules, some of which were extremely important and some of them were kind of ridiculous. And when Buddha was dying, they asked him what to do about all of these. Which one should we keep? And Buddha said, well, it's really up to you. You guys decide. And after he died, they talked about it, and they couldn't decide. You can imagine the arguments. Well, we really should keep this one about the milk. But that's ridiculous, you know. And so they just decided, okay, we'll keep them all. So to this day, those same rules are being kept by monks and nuns who have agreed to keep the Vinaya completely. In Zen, a lot of those are overlooked. In the Theravadan tradition, they're very, very carefully kept. It's amazing how stringent they are. But the essential ones are the same in any culture. The essential ones are human being itself. they're how we're made. We're tribal people. Or we're pack people like wolves and dogs. We are or horses. We can't live alone very well. We have to live with each other. We need each other. We're social beings. And part of our socialness is how we're able to, because of how our mind works, accommodate each other. Identify ourselves with each other in a way that allows us to understand how we can do harm. We understand first what it means to us to be hurt. Someone takes something. You know, even little children have a whole thing about taking and giving and all of that. And as we grow, we understand more and more about that and realize that giving instead of taking has a chemical effect on us. Our brain actually changes according to how we are, how we behave. And we feel that. And we've found ways of expressing these things in the precepts. They're not coming from on high, from some bearded fellow up in the sky somewhere. They're arising out of our own nature, our own best nature, and our tribal nature of how it is that we want to be together. So they're very, very simple. I mean, people shrug and say, oh, well, you know, it's not to steal, not to lie, so. But if you really begin to go into it and study them and pick one and try to live it for even a day, it's amazing. They don't come to us in order to make us behave. No one's shaking a stick at us and telling us not to lie. They're our way of staying awake to what we do as we do it. So instead of bending the truth and overlooking it and just going la 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 and going on, we bend the truth and think, look at that, and begin to take it on, take it in. It's a completely different way of relating to oneself and to the world. It doesn't perfect us at all. It just shows us how we are and helps us. It's not to make us guilty either. The no being angry is everyone's favorite one. And yet, of course, we get angry, just as we kill, just as we lay blame. All of them we break. All of them are impossible to keep perfectly, or even imperfectly. But to wake up as we are, now that's something. To be responsible for what we do. To face our food and acknowledge it acknowledge what we're doing. That's vast. So, our original idea was to sit outside in a circle and watch the moon. But I don't think there's going to be a moon to watch again tonight. I never did see it last night. And it's pretty foggy out there. So we can do it in here. Might make more of a circle so that we're all connected. And maybe we can stand up first and do the precept ceremony, just recite them. And then we can sit down in a circle and pass the talking stick. Is that agreed? Is that okay? Okay.